it's Sunday. That means it's time for Dr. Renee Boyce to come through for us. She's going to be the host of the Better Health Radio Show. And as usual, we are happy to have her. And let's say good evening to her. Dr. Boyce, are you there with us?
Hi, I was just saying I wasn't hearing anything from your end, Gregson. How are you?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. Can you hear, can you, like the commercial says, can you hear me now?
Yeah, testing, 1, 2, 3.
Good to hear you, my dear.
Yes, loudly and clearly. Yes, good evening to everybody and welcome to the Better Health Radio Show, helping you to live your best life. If you want to give us a call in the studio, you can give Gregson a call. 434-1790 and to send a WhatsApp 266-4862. And what we want you to do this evening is to send in WhatsApps of, well, definitely things related to our topic this evening, which I'll go on to explain in a minute, but also those topics that you want to hear on the Better Health Radio Show. The reason why we're here, the reason we come back every week, is to help you to understand medical conditions better. So you write in and you tell us what you want to hear and we will facilitate. We've got many things planned for the year already and we'll try to interject yours, but we really do want to, you know, be on the pulse of the people, have an understanding as to what the persons in the public want to hear on our radio show. And again, thank you everybody for listening to us every week here on the Better Health Radio Show. This evening I have Dr. Carlisle Goddard in with me. Good evening, Dr. Goddard. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Dr. Best. Good to see you and hear you.
Yes. Not a word, Gaston.
I didn't intend to. Okay, sorry.
I saw that.
You saw the look.
Dr. Goddard is an endocrinologist. He is one of those persons that specializes in diseases of the endocrine system, which we will discuss later on. But today's topic is going to be a marathon event to try to cover hypo and hyperthyroidism in one show. We will see if we can get it done. Dr. Goddard, tell us a little bit about, who is Carlisle Goddard? What's your claim to fame? What do you do for fun?
That's such a big question, Rennie. Oh, there's one answer to that. You can ask me questions. I can easily handle that.
Oh, what's your favorite thing to do when you're not working?
When I'm not working, that would be watching a movie or reading a book.
Okay. Your favorite movie?
My favorite movie would be sci-fi, and that would be Sherlock Holmes.
Okay. Well, I have to admit, I do like murder mysteries, so Matlock and all these different things, Burke's Law, that's up my street. So, yes, we can agree on that. Not a word, Gregston.
I didn't intend to. You saw the look again, though, didn't you?
Yes. Yes. What made you decide to do endocrinology?
Oh, let's see. I was originally doing urology, actually. And then my mom developed diabetes, and after trying to get her some information about her care and stuff from her doctor, I was just hearing with a touch of this, it was just a little bit of that, and all I could see her was wasting away in front of me. So the woman who I knew was not the woman who I was now seeing. So I started to read more and more about diabetes and do more and more about diabetes. Eventually, I knew enough, and it's like, why am I doing urology? Why not switch? So I switched then from urology to endocrinology, and that's been it.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. I never knew that about you. Never knew that about you. So let's jump into our main feature. Remember, any questions that you have this evening related to either hyper or hypothyroidism, or if you just want to contribute your topics that you want to hear about, you can drop a link to Gregson on the WhatsApp, or you can call in and just whisper those answers, those questions in his ear, since he's in the studio doing absolutely nothing. So
I know that was supposed to make me comment, but I won't say a word.
Okay, and you just have bitten the bait. Where's the thyroid gland, Dr. Goddard? Where is the thyroid gland?
The thyroid gland is located beneath in the neck region. So if you were to take your finger and start the middle of your chin, and just slowly fold it all the way down, you'll feel your Adam's apple, and just below the Adam's apple, you'll feel a little slit of flesh. And when you go out to either side of that, you feel like almost a butterfly wing on either side. And that is the middle part called the isthmus, and then the two lobes called the lobes of the thyroid. So it's a butterfly gland located just below your Adam's apple in your neck.
Yeah, many people say that the pituitary gland is the master gland. And if I had to rank the glands, I would say coming in a very, very close second would be the thyroid gland. What is the primary function of the thyroid gland?
Right. So the thyroid gland, even though you rank it as the second major hormonal organ, is probably one of the major ones, because without the thyroid, we would virtually be nothing. The thyroid controls your appetite, your body heat, your body growth, your sexuality, it affects your mood swings, it affects your weight gain, it helps the other hormones to program themselves and follow the lines, or toe the line, so to speak. So the thyroid is so involved in all the other bodily functions that without it, the body's really in an upset state.
Yeah, I agree with you completely there. And one of the things I've discovered over the years about thyroid disease is that perhaps more recently, but in previous times, the thyroid gland, especially hypothyroidism, when persons presented, and we're going to talk about how they presented, but it was never one of those things which was at the top of the minds of the physicians for a clinical condition. It wasn't a consideration. Oh, you're just feeling this way. Oh, no, there's nothing wrong with you. And as medical science developed, I guess it became a more regular, I don't want to say regular disease, but people became more aware of thyroid disease. So what are the different thyroid hormones? You know, we hear all about thyroid hormones, and you've just alluded to the function of the thyroid gland being very important in the body. So what are the main thyroid hormones?
Right. So before we answer that, the thyroid gland, or disorder of the thyroid gland, is probably the second most common endocrine hormone disorder you'll hear of. Almost everyone hears about diabetes. Thyroid disease is almost as common as diabetes, huh? So the two most common occurring endocrine disorders would be thyroid and of the pancreas, are well known as diabetes. So when the doctor is checking your thyroid hormone, the three basic tests that we look for, or three basic hormones we check on. One, the thyroid stimulating hormone, the TSH, and that basically is the brain sensor. That is where the brain communicates the thyroid gland directly. And then you have the free thyroxine, which is the big gun. He's the fellow that's responsible for most of the functions. And then you have the total T3, total thyroxine. The T3 then mainly represents or protects you from brain fog, or it maintains your energy. So, you know, like some days you feel like, I really don't have the energy to do that, or I want to do something, I just can't quite recall what it was. And you figure out if you remember it. That's what we refer to as brain fog. And one of the commonest causes of brain fog is a low T3, particularly seen after pregnancy or usually after major viral illnesses where the thyroid gland becomes involved, and that's called a thyroiditis. So those two conditions are very common where the thyroid becomes insulted for whatever reason, reacts and shuts down production, and so you get a low T3. So brain fog and low energy states are very common symptoms coming out of a low T3. But T4, which is the main hormone seen in the body, if it's too high, which is called hyperthyroidism, then the body's in a hyper state. You're overdrive, so you're burning energy, you're burning calories, you're losing weight, you're forever going, you're forever eating, you're forever drinking, forever thinking, you're forever agitated. If you get that sense of action. So hyperthyroidism is an excessive state. When you have too little T4, then that's hypothyroidism. And so the metabolic rate becomes retarded, it's very slow. So the body becomes slow. Your mind becomes very hard to function. You don't want to do anything. You don't want to be involved in anything. To eat is a chore. To lift your big toe is an even bigger chore.
I think we might have lost him for a
while. Yes. Until we get him back, we were discussing the symptoms of hypothyroidism. Is it Rupi's
song? Fullness.
Oh, yeah, he's back.
Oh, I'm sorry. You lost me for a little
bit? For just a little bit, though.
We lost you at lifting the big pole, the chore.
Oh, okay. Let me see if I can change locations and make it better. Yes, we're talking about the symptoms of hypothyroidism. So the body becomes very low energy state. And as a result, the metabolic rate goes down. The person is cold most of the times. They get fat or they gain weight easily. And they lack the will to do anything. Those are more the typical features of hypothyroidism.
I know that this is supposed to be a medical show, but Gregson is just doing the most in the studio.
Poor me one. I was just listening to the good doctor there and getting some answers as to my issues. He rattled off a series.
What Rupi sang it. What happens in the party stays in the party. It's Rupi, right?
Yes.
Yes. So what I see here in the studio is going to stay here in the studio. I'm not going to tell everybody on air that you seem to have hypothyroidism based on this.
And description from the good doctor. Okay. Carry on.
So those persons who have the hypothyroid state, like you say, the description that I've heard from patients, Dr. Goddard, is that I feel as though I'm just running on fumes. I have no energy. And some women complain about hair loss. Hair loss is another of the symptoms that we would see, or signs that we would see. And what I had alluded to before about the diagnosis not being met sometimes or made sometimes would be maybe the middle-aged lady who just complains of being tired, or the mother who has a million and one children plus a full-time job, and she thinks, you know, I'm tired because I'm doing all of these different things. I have all of these activities going on in my life, not understanding that the problem could possibly be lying at her thyroid in the first place. Have you seen that in your practice, where persons just thought it was, you know, maybe my lifestyle that's making me tired?
Well, we know, Rennie, most persons will always try to find an excuse for their illness first. Yeah. I'm sure you've experienced that many times in your career. So when something's wrong with someone, it's almost like a mask come over you. You don't want to admit it could be something else. So the first thing is, I'm drinking too much water because I'm just thirsty, so I'm drinking a lot of water. Or I'm feeling too tired because I'm working too long. Or I didn't sleep well last night because I had something on my mind. I just need to sort it out. So there's always that excuse train first. And when you find that train is not going anywhere, and then the street doctors come and suggest what else it could be, and
don't
give you the recommendation for it, you know? And then eventually it gets worse and you can't take it anymore. So then you turn up at your doctor, who then does a series of tests. But remember, I said to you, thyroid disease and diabetes are very common hormonal disorders. The endocrine system, or the study of hormones, really is a true family structure. All of the hormones hang out with each other, and they try to help each other whenever there's a deficit in the body. So take, for example, menopause. Menopause is a time in a woman's life where the ovaries are failing and eventually will start working by a genetic clock that is pre-programmed to start working. Just before that menopause totally kicks in, the body recognizes declining the estrogen in the body. And so all of the other hormone glands come in and say, hey, cuz, can I help out? And so they try. So you get the surge in the thyroid hormones. So the person starts to get sweaty and the hot flushes, and they get a little bit irritable. Then they start to put on a bit of weight. That's the other hormones kicking in. Then they crave foods out of this world. That's the pancreas and some of the other hormones kicking in. Then you get the mood swings. Now that's the adrenal gland and the pituitary at work. So all the other hormonal glands offer services to help out the ovaries as they start to fail. The eventual point is reached when the ovaries die. And at that point, the other hormones say, well, you know, we tried our best, but it wasn't good enough. We can't do anymore. And so one by one, they turn off their services. And there's like a veil being removed. Menopause has come to an end, and you get back your energy. The brain fog settles. You become engaged again. You start to get active. Some of the weight starts to leave. Some women enjoy the new bust size that they have. Some cry for bigger busts. And there are different things because all the other hormonal glands have kicked in and made improvements in the body, so to speak, during that menopause. But ultimately, once the ovaries go, they then realize they can help their cousin no longer, and then they turn back to their normal functions.
One of the fascinating things about the human body is the term homeostasis. That that inclination or desire or need to be in a steady state. One of the classic things is when your blood pressure drops, for example, if you're in a hot room and so on and so forth, and you start to feel palpitations and feel as though you're going to pass out, you faint because you have to try to keep blood going to the necessary vital areas, such as the brain. So the body puts you horizontally in an effort to preserve that blood flow to the brain, as opposed to you standing up there and not enough blood getting to your head, and then you end up in some trouble. If you're just joining us this evening, we are in with Dr. Carlisle Goddard. He is an endocrinologist, and we are discussing today in a marathon show hyper and hypothyroidism. Hyperthyroidism being increased activity of the thyroid gland, and hypothyroidism being decreased activity of the thyroid gland. One of the things you had mentioned there, Doc, would have been the increased mental activity of the thyroid gland. And some persons who have what seems to be mental health disorders could very easily have hyperthyroidism. What are your thoughts on this?
As one of the most misdiagnosed states is hypothyroidism, and that has a lot of even hyper for that matter. And a lot of psychiatric related disorders that, you know, that are covered under this field. And so all our psychiatry colleagues are now taught early to always check for thyroid disease when you're investigating a person with mental disorders. So yes, in the old days, a lot of patients were committed to mental institutions when they were actually just needed a shot of hormones. And when that was eventually figured out, they were cured.
Yes, we have a call. We're going to take that call and then we'll get back to our discussion.
Yes, Doc, we have a call and we have two queries here. So let's go with a call first. Good evening.
Good afternoon.
Yes, please.
I'm trying to catch on to Dr. Boyce.
Yeah, is it?
I see that this is genetic.
All right. Before you go any further, we can hardly hear you clearly because you have your radio on. That's the first thing.
Let me turn off.
Right. And we hope that you're calling with regards to the show. But anyhow, we'll find out in a second or two. And when this call is finished, we've got a couple queries here for the good doctor. You're back with us?
I come home and I call her, and I just can't get on to her.
Well, this is on personal business, but you would have to call her outside of the show, though, okay?
By calling, she home and I'm getting her.
All right.
At work.
But if you try, you know, sometimes you call, you don't get through, but don't let that be a hindrance. You keep calling.
I will try again tomorrow.
Okay, ma'am. Okay. Thanks. Right. Thanks. For the personal matters, you'd have to get her office instead of on the show, you see. Doctor, hold on, please. Don't run away yet. I have another query for you. This one says, let's do the other one first because I think that one came in first. Dear doctors, is there a genetic basis for thyroid disease? I was diagnosed with hyperthyroidism in my mid-30s, was treated with tablets. Unfortunately, I don't remember what, and it went into remission. Late 60s now, feeling fine, but at first I was exhausted all of the time, had difficulty climbing one flight of stairs at work. One sibling and five cousins also have thyroid disease. So is there a genetic basis, Doc?
So yes, excellent question, and thank you for the question. There is a tremendous link between thyroid and the autoimmune system. So yes, it's a genetic basis for some of the thyroid diseases. And usually autoimmune diseases follow the female gender. So invariably, if ladies have thyroid disease, it's almost certain that their children from the younger age, between say 24 and 30, will start manifesting thyroid disease as well. Thyroid disease goes and comes, remission relapses, and so you may get a good 10-15 years of remission, but it will be sure to come back again unless you do a definitive treatment. So yes, you should have been followed up by your doctor over the course of the years, knowing at some point your hyperthyroidism would have returned.
All right, I've got another one here for you. This one says, good evening, Gregston. Did Dr. Goddard just say some women enjoy the increased breast size they have? I ask because I feel my breast increasing for no reason at all, and I wonder why. Your answer, Doc.
Yes, I correctly said that. The breast tissue in women continue to enjoy stimulation from estrogen markers. And so in menopause, some women actually get double or tripling, increase of two or three top sizes during the perimenopausal period. Sometimes it stays, in fact, most times it stays, sometimes it then resorts to the earliest state. But yes, breast size will vary across the spectrum depending on the hormonal stimulation.
All right, two good questions, two good answers. Dr. Boyce.
We are in talking about hypo and hyperthyroidism with Dr. Carlisle Goddard. The first query there brings us into our next segment, and we're going to talk a little bit about treatment. The person that had sent in the query mentioned that they were given a tablet for treatment of their hyperthyroidism. So let's discuss hyperthyroidism first, the treatments for hyperthyroidism, available treatment.
Right. So treatment for hyperthyroidism can be medical, which involves some form of tablets or administration of a drug that will attack the thyroid, or it can be surgical, where you remove a portion of the thyroid or preferably the entire thyroid to treat the underlying condition. So to deal with the surgical part quickly, we mostly recommend complete thyroid removal or thyroidectomy, simply because whatever caused the thyroid to misbehave in the first place, we don't truly understand why it caused it to occur in that person. So when we're going to find an abnormal thyroid gland, to remove the portion just bad alone does not mean that the other person which looked normal at this stage will remain normal over the course of their life. So then that would mean a further surgery at another point. So the general thinking now is to remove the entire thyroid gland and then commence treatment or replacement therapy, which is very simple, but it is for life thereafter. The two medical managements that we referred to earlier, one involves a tablet, usually a type of methotrexate or carbimazole, more commonly used in Barbados. And what this thyroid does, it goes into the bloodstream and binds the excessive thyroid hormone that is there because of the upset or irritated thyroid. And in so doing, it removes the excess from the bloodstream, rendering the person a more normal or euthyroid state. And it does that until the thyroid simmer downs. So think of a hyperthyroidism being a state where the thyroid is just angry for whatever reason. And because of that, being a gland, it throws out what it has, and that's hormones. So it throws out an immense amount of thyroid hormones throughout the body. And because it's the hyperdrive, the octane of the body, it makes you lose fat, it makes your heart beat faster, it makes you hot, it makes you sweaty, it makes you anxious, it makes you restless, it gives you insomnia, it changes your appetite. It does all these things. So if you get this salvation, so this tablet comes in and binds up all of this excessive thyroid hormones, then slowly over the course of 4 to 6 weeks, you revert back to your normal state, state more readily identified as normal for you. Usually it takes you anywhere between 12 to 18 months with medication to attain proper control. And over the course of, say, 6 to 8 weeks, your doctor gradually reduces the medication to the mere minimum that you need to keep you in that normal state. The second medical mode that I mentioned was it's called radioactive iodine. And here we give you a shot glass of this chemical, which you say, bottles up, fellas and girls, and here we go. And down the hatchet it goes. And usually within 3 to 4 weeks, it goes in, it binds up all of the excessive hormone and work its way to the sources of the thyroid. And slowly it becomes embedded within the thyroid and burns out because of the radioactive substance. And slowly it burns out the source of the functioning thyroid, bringing the thyroid to a state of non-function over the course of anywhere between 6 weeks to months. And once that happens, the thyroid remains within your neck cavity, not being removed, but it slowly withers away because it dies over time. And because it was putting out excessive hormones, you go from a state of hyperthyroid to normal thyroid, or euthyroid, we call it, and then ultimately to hypothyroidism, because the thyroid is no longer functioning. It becomes killed off by the chemical. And when that happens, then you require replacement hormone, which is natural, normal, easily, readily available, that over the course of a couple of months, it becomes very easy to manage you. Again, treatment is lifelong because you no longer have a thyroid that is functional inside of you. So okay, those are basically the big categories of treatment.
Right. Before you go on to the treatment of hypothyroidism, which is our next step, we have a call. So let's take that call.
Yes, we have a call. And it looks like another one as well, and a few comments as well. Go ahead, please.
Good evening. I'm a thyroid person. I have my thyroid taken out all too. And right now I'm on thyroxine, but something, only 2019 I had it done, and I take out all too. So sometimes, you know, I would just feel like, you know, I was asking that away. My throat feels so tight, you know, that so I was actually like something pop. So I want to know if it is because I know it will not heal, how long it takes to heal, it heal on the outside. But I want to know if that stitch that it had a stitch inside, and then when the stitch is that now releasing when you feel it still like sticking at the part, but it feels a bit tighty. So he told me that I got to live on this thyroxine 100 all my life. So sometimes my body just feels, I feel a bit tired sometimes. I feel a bit down, even though I take it. So I want to know if my child, if they will come back. I'm reaching down to my children, like my son, my second son. He tell me now he having a problem too. He's 51, and he went down yesterday that he was thyroid, that, you know. But I don't always, but he tell me he feel a bit discomfort at times, but they may give him any treatment or anything, so for, and my daughter also too. So I want to know if, they, as you said, the generation, if I will pass them. Because I used to get a thyroid thing when I was in my late 40s, 50s, coming that I started to get it. So I want to know if it will come back. I was asking.
So a series of good questions there. But let's deal with that choice. So the thyroid, once the surgeon goes in and do the thing, anywhere between 2 to 4 weeks, you're totally healed up pretty good. And we say usually give it up to 6 weeks, but usually by 4 weeks, you're all good to go. And once out, there's no way that thyroid is going to come back again. But once the surgeon removes all the lobes and the isthmus of the thyroid, it's not going to come back. That's it. Now, this feeling you may refer to could be what we call scar tissue, because the surgeon had to cut you about an inch or so just into your neckline there. As it heals, sometimes you get scar tissue forming, and that might give a little tightness around the area. But usually it settles down with gentle massaging. Once it's fully healed, stretches the skin and so on, it normally settles down over time. So there's no chance it can come back, and invariably be a bit of scar tissue forming that may cause the tightness in your throat. But usually the surgeons are very, very good, and that is a very rare complication, if any at all. Thyroid disease is a bit sexist, huh? It more affects females than males. But just, I guess, out of the laws of natural order, to be fair, a guy must get it every now and then. So not commonly men will get thyroid dysfunction, and it's completely normal. And they go through the same treatment that the woman or the lady would get. Your son getting at 51, no surprises there, because it has a genetic basis and he can easily be treated along the similar lines once his doctor follows him carefully. I think I should have answered most of your questions, if not all, but you can come back and let me know if I missed any.
Oh, thanks, Ron.
All right. Thank you, caller.
You're more than welcome.
All right. I think we've got another caller here on the line, as well as our queries. Let's see if we can access this one quickly. Good evening.
Hi, good evening. How are you today?
I'm good, thanks. The doctors can hear you.
Okay. I'm calling at connection with thyroid. I had a thyroid removed. I'm a thyroid removed 41 years ago. It has since grown back. I'm not on any medication or anything like that. I had a test done, and the doctor said the level was okay, but he did only the TSH4. Is there any way he should have done the TSH3 as well, or just the 4?